In St. Luke's Gospel for today's Solemnity of the Holy Rosary, the Archangel says to the Blessed Mother, Hail! In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, Amen. Reverend Fathers, dear members of the Rosary Confraternity, dear faithful, as a Catholic, just one who's left today. No, not after the rapture. You have a long time to wait for that myth to materialize, movies notwithstanding. Just a Catholic of the remnant today, do you ever grow tired of all of the no's and the nots and the negatives with which your speech must often be knotted? No, you may not, or don't even think about doing that. No, you can't. That's wrong, and that's a sin, and that's forbidden. Parents must feel that way at times. Priests certainly do. And it's a burden, isn't it? This new religion, that's not Catholic, and he's not the Pope, and that's not a Mass, and that's a mortal sin here and there, and everywhere it seems. And, well, even members of the rapidly shrinking thinking public are often forced every day into the negative mode. That's not true. He may be the president, but you know, he just told us a lie. Or the press, the media, they're all a pack of liars. And well, of course, people will say he may be the Pope, but even so, what's so complicated about not, as in thou shalt not commit adultery? We Catholics could come across, God forbid, as negative folk. I think we do sometimes. We get a bad press. But the press, they're liars after all. Don't believe the thumbs down reviews that others may give us. And then don't go about frowning because we're the ones who insist that everything's a sin and it's all just one big no. Today, I have good news for you this Rosary Sunday. Jesus is yes. St. Paul says so, writing to a particularly truculent group of converts of his at Corinth. One letter wouldn't do it. He had to write them two. At the start of the second one, he wrote, For the Son of God, Jesus Christ, who was preached among you by us, was not yes and no, but in him it has always been yes. For no matter how many promises God has made, they are yes in Christ. Do you see the gospel from the word in the Anglo-Saxon means good news? And what is the rosary, remember, if not all of this good news packed into your pocket or your purse? And then pondered over with some very powerful prayers to anchor your lips as the beads slip through your fingers. Today's lesson is really a bit of etymology, which means word origin. But before that, please remember our yes in Christ Jesus. It is all true. We are the followers of the original yes man, Yeshua, Jesus, God made man, his divinity. We believe it. We are the ones who say simply yes to God who reveals his truth to us through the only religion he founded. The modernists say yes, but, and then they cavil and they change. But we say, yes, it is true. And yes, I believe. And yes, this is my faith. So that starts with the first glorious mystery. Jesus actually did rise from the dead on the third day. And this is the reason why Christians come back to church every eighth day under pain of serious sin to keep his resurrection on Sunday. Really, all of the mysteries of the Rosary see the life of Christ represented, made present as a present, a perfect gift to God on that altar at the sacrifice of the Mass, which is Calvary, the fifth sorrowful mystery renewed. And since the Rosary sums up the life of Christ, as does the Mass, another little bit of good news is for us who haven't changed, is that sometimes when books and reading might weary you, it's perfectly all right to tell your beads, to say your Rosary during Mass. But, you know, I don't like to see you, especially not the children, come to church without the book, a book, your prayer book, and your beads, too. Don't forget them. You see, empty hands sometimes may indicate an empty head and a distracted heart. We don't want that. Not at Mass. But yes to the true Mass, and yes to the Rosary, and yes, too, as St. Paul says, to the promises. Not only the great promises which were fulfilled in Christ and are fulfilled in us who are Christians alone, the true children of Israel today, were the children of the promise. We are the children of the new and the eternal covenant, and that's the only one working anymore. But even of all of those lovely promises which you will so often hear about in this church, which come to us from the saints and from the blesseds by way of what we call private revelation, visions and apparitions, but those approved by the church. The 15 promises, say, made by the Blessed Mother in favor of those who say the Rosary and given to Blessed Alan of the Rock. He received them and he wrote them down, and they're true. And a promise, or better yet, a solemn declaration, which Our Lady once made to St. Mechtild, who was the mentor and the dear friend of our patroness, St. Gertrude, at Helfta, the convent there in Saxony. One day, she was trying to compose a beautiful, the most beautiful prayer possible to give to the Blessed Mother. And Our Lady appeared to her, and she said, "You needn't bother. There is no prayer which pleases me more than the Hail Mary." And then she said, Mary did, "The salutation with which the most adorable Trinity sent to me, and by which he raised me to the dignity of the Mother of God by the word Ave, which is," Mary said, "the name Eve. I learned that in his infinite power, God has preserved me from all sin and its attendant misery, which the first woman had been subject to." Thus far the words of Our Lady. I read these words on the internet a few years ago, and I printed out the article. It was from the website of some Novus Ordo author and apologist. You know how Our Lady at Fatima asked for the apology of the first Saturday for sins against her Immaculate Heart? Well, this man had the unusual humility to admit that he had mocked Mary Our Blessed Lady. Because when he came across the words in the book, it's called the Book of Special Grace, the Book of St. Mechtild, he thought to himself, huh, Ave is Latin, but Luke wrote his gospel in Greek. And that would be, pronunciations differ, but I'll go with this one. That would be Kyrie. That's what Gabriel would have said. But then, you know what? He did a little study, which isn't a bad idea, not only for our young people, but even for adults. And he looked it up in the biblical commentary by the great, great Catholic commentator for the Greek, Cornelius Alapide. And this erudite author points out, well, that of course the angel would have addressed Our Lady in Hebrew, not in Greek, but in Hebrew, beginning his annunciation, his message, with the greeting Chave. That's the Hebrew greeting. That means live, as in long live the king, or the Spanish would say, Viva Cristo Rey. That was the greeting. It started with live, as in long live. And here it gets interesting. If you were Protestants at this point, you'd all have your Bibles with you, and you'd be taking notes. But of course, if you were really Protestants, you wouldn't be interested in hearing about the Hail Mary, even though it is in the Word of God. Unfortunately, the traditions of men get in the way of God's Word. But at the very beginning of the Bible, in the book of Genesis, in the third chapter, the Hebrew name of Eve is Chava. So do you hear the similarity of those two words? Chave, Chava. And that means living, from live to living. Because as the Holy Ghost himself explains in Scripture, Eve is who? She's the mother of the living. This shows that there is indeed a mystical meaning in the original Hebrew greeting of Chave to Mary, as well as a kind of a linguistic link from the Hebrew to the Latin, and you could hear it in the Greek too. And those are the three languages of Calvary, I-N-R-I, remember? Those are the three languages that are used in the Holy Mass. The Hebrew, Chave, the Latin, Ave, as in Ave Maria. You know that phrase. The Ave keeps its original Semitic meaning down throughout the centuries of all of those languages, all related to each other. But more, this further links Our Lady with the new Eve, one of the first great teachers of the church, St. Irenaeus, 2nd century, wrote, you might say he told his Bible study class, that Our Lady is the true Eve that has been taught amongst Christians since then. This link, this ancient original, you might say angelic, play on words from Gabriel, is sung in one of Our Lady's most ancient hymns. We sing it sometimes at Mass. It's the Ave Maris Stella, Hail, Star of the Sea. If you're ever at Vespers, that would be a big if, I know, because well, for about 100 years now, ever since they invented the automobile, somebody told God he would be on half days for his day from now on. But it's curious, you know, some Protestants to go to church twice on Sunday, and they seem to enjoy it. They do it every week. It's interesting. Well, but if you're ever at the Vespers of an ancient feast of Mary, and it's a good thing to keep in mind, too, where does your rosary come from? It was for those who couldn't get to Vespers or to the divine office. 150 Hail Marys for the 150 Psalms of David. So here's our yes, that even if you can't make it back in the afternoon on the Lord's Day, still, you have your family rosary in the evening, don't you? And so you're symbolically saying one third of the Psalter. Your Vespers is united with ours by means of the Rosary. When the original hymn is sung in the Vespers, everybody kneels down in church because it's such a holy moment, singing about that happy change, how Eve, E-V-A in the Latin, gets turned around to Ave, A-V-E, by the words of the angel. Receiving that greeting of Ave, which changes Eve's name. And why does that happen? Back to yes. Because Our Lady said, well, she said yes. And that's the point. She didn't, as they say today, get to yes. She didn't negotiate her way to yes. She just said at the Annunciation to the angel, yes, be it done unto me according to thy word. And so do we say yes to God, rosary in hand. We, the followers of him who is God's yes to man, Jesus. Yes, he is the Son of Mary. God bless you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.